Good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. in Muskegon Heights, Michigan. This is Community Focus, hosted by Gregory T. Roberts and myself. And for those of you that are regular viewers of our show, you know that Brother Gregory T. has been out ill. We're still praying, wishing him well. We know you're listening, Brother Greg. Come back soon, brother. We're praying for you. All right. You know what we do at 2 o'clock. We start off with the weather. Do you know today is the first day of summer? Isn't that something? So low today, 60, high 78, but 45% chance of rain. Saturday, a little breezy, low 69, high of 84. Should be a nice day. Sunday, low of 71, high of 85. Monday, sunny, low of 72, high of 85. Tuesday, we have a 50% chance of rain, low of 70, high of 86. Wednesday, 65% chance of rain, low of 69, high of 82. And next Thursday, 60% chance of rain, low of 72, high of 82. So summer weather looks like things are going to grow. We got sunshine and we have rain. All right. So I usually give my top five news stories. I'm actually burned out on news. So I changed it. Brother Greg, when you get back, you can change it back. I just call it my big five. Sort of news, sort of not news. All right. Today, June 20th, is the first day of summer of 2025. The first day of summer, our summer solstice occurs when the pole at the northern hemisphere tilts at its maximum tilt toward the sun, in case you forgot from your early science classes. So enjoy the summer. Major League Baseball, you know what? I was thinking today we are getting pretty close to the All-Star break. And do you know what team is in first place? That's right, your Detroit Tigers. Last night, NBA Game 6, Indiana Pacers defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're having a Game 7, folks. Are you watching this? We got two new upstart teams. Are you watching these NBA Finals? They're interesting and boring at the same time, but Game 7. Should be pretty good. State news. Take out your scorecards. We have three Democratic candidates running for governor: Jocelyn Benson, Chris Swanson, Garland Gilchrist, and we'll be talking more about that in the coming year. We have four Republican candidates: Eric Nesbitt, John James, Mike Cox, and Anthony Hudson, I think, who just joined the race this week. And one independent candidate, Mike Dugan, mayor of Detroit, who wants to take his show on the road. So we have eight candidates. I have a feeling we are not done. Number four, the Electric Forest, which I'm not a participant, nothing against it. I was in a store this weekend and I was buying a sandwich. And they said, we can't keep those in. Electric Forest is starting. I was like, oh. So, but this is a big deal. I saw they're going to break some record for the number of EVAs and drones in the air. Should be exciting. Folks, go out there, have a good time, be safe. And of course, we have to do some real news. Number five, war in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, federal government, stay posted. Things change every day. We're going to just roll with the punches, but news is news, right? Real quickly, even I think despite the rain, they are at 8th Street Park today for the basketball event with play basketball with the state police and Muskegon Heights and some other local departments. That's from 1 to 4 p.m. today. And Sunday, don't forget the event at the Farmers Market, the Black Business Expo. All right. Well, my guest has been sitting here next to me very patiently, waiting for an introduction. So as we do at Community Focus, will you join me as we welcome to the microphone Megan Pohl from Pure Broadband Michigan?
Yes.
Pure Broadband Michigan. Megan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good. Well, Pure Broadband Michigan. First, tell people who you are and tell us about Pure Broadband Michigan.
Yeah, so Pure Broadband Michigan, we are a local internet service provider, the only one located in Muskegon Heights, actually. Our headquarters is over on Glade Street. So for the last 12, to 15 years, we've been providing internet services to the rural communities, helping folks go where the big companies don't. And now that we're located in the city, we've actually been able to help spread the new fiber infrastructure that's out there, kind of as a one-stop shop for new customers.
Okay. So we're going to get real simple for some of our folks, for the folks in my age group who don't understand all this stuff.
I got you.
Okay. So I'm going to get real basic. When you say broadband, that's internet, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so for a lot of us, when we started talking about internet, we had Comcast or Xfinity, and we said, hey, they offered you this great deal. You get internet, you get phone, and you get TV for some big bundle price. And then people start discovering I can actually get internet from other places, right?
Yes, you can.
So tell me how we went from you get it only from the folks to provide you this internet from the cable to now we've got other providers that don't necessarily provide TV or telephone, but provide this internet.
Yeah. So I was born in 1990, and I remember when AOL became a huge thing and we could actually connect to the internet, right? Yes. And that was fabulous. And we'd sit and listen to the dial-up, and we'd get online and talk to people we'd never met before. And then they came out with cable internet, and that just blew the dial-up out of the water, because now we can do things faster and more efficient. It worked out with those telecom companies. They'd lay those lines, and now everyone got the next best thing. So cable has been the big runner for internet service. And then COVID happened. They don't run those cable internet cables everywhere, right? So we noticed a lot of people were left in the dark and not connected, especially when they had to go to work and go to school online now. And the government said, this is a problem.
Okay.
And we know there's something better out there, and it's called fiber internet.
Okay.
It moves at the speed of light. You don't have to share those lines with your neighbors like you currently do with cable internet. And so they have been blasting money out there for companies to take advantage of and build that infrastructure.
Okay. So all right. You know, we hear like talking like in superhighway of information.
Very much so.
And so what these companies basically are doing are building ways for more people to have access to the internet.
Yes. And not just get access, but have it much more cost effective and much faster. So you can do things more quickly, which we're living in a world right now where even our microwaves are connected to our Wi-Fi. So,
you know, I bought a new washing machine. And
God bless you.
And I kept, you know, they offer like internet Wi-Fi hookup. Like, why do I need to run my washing machine from my cell phone? And I just, but it's like, and I bought a stove a couple of months ago. Same thing. It's like, I don't know if I'll ever use it, but it's interesting that I have the option.
Yeah, my parents just bought and built a new house and got new appliances that sing to them. So, I mean, I mean, it's just a whole new world out there.
And so it's, and we talked a little bit beforehand. You said, no, you talked about the rural areas. So it's hard to imagine a home that doesn't have Wi-Fi. But is that still an area, a problem in parts of Michigan?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So we have our folks in the city, and it's much easier to lay those lines, the fiber lines, the cable lines. But when we start talking about the folks who live miles outside of the city, and maybe your closest neighbor is, you know, half a block or more away from you, it's a lot harder for companies to lay those cables and those wires down. And so there are people out there who only have access to satellite internet, maybe wireless services, which work, but maybe not as effectively.
Okay.
And that's kind of where we come in.
So how do I contact your company, and what do you all, what will you all do for me?
Yeah. So typically what happens is folks will Google us, Pure Broadband Michigan. Our website is puremiwifi.com. That's puremiwifi.com. We can click around on there, and there's multiple spots to check your address.
Okay.
So you'll go there, you'll put your name, your phone number, your address in there. It actually sends a form to our office.
Okay.
We will take that address, map it out, and then give you a call and say, hey, we can get you this service, that service, and we can get you signed up whenever we can get you signed up.
Okay. Now, do they pay for this service from you all?
So our wireless service that we offer to the folks who are kind of out there, they would pay us directly. As far as the fiber services, we become the one-stop shop. We help them get set up and get on the installation schedule.
Okay.
They don't pay us directly, but we do become the hub for customer support.
Okay. And give people that contact information again.
Yeah. So that website is puremiwifi.com. If you are more of a phone call person, you can call us directly. It's 616-258-6485. We'd be happy to take your information over the phone that way as well.
Okay. So what are some of the lights that should go off for people to think, hey, you know what, maybe I need to look into, other than, hey, I'm paying, no, then I usually complain, I'm paying a lot for my bill. But what are some red lights that should go off for people to make them think, maybe I ought to give a call and just check out what options are available to me?
Yeah. So if you have been with your internet service provider for probably more than 3 or 4 years, it's definitely worth calling. We always, you know, shop around for car insurance, and our utilities are no different. Okay. If you're paying more than $100 for your internet service, we can fix that. If you're noticing your devices don't function the way that you would anticipate, if you see buffering, or my kids are big into gaming, so if they're lagging when they're playing their gaming, you can call us. We can help for sure.
Okay. Those are good. Yeah, the old thing that's... Okay, so those are good ones. How much do I need to know when I call you? Do I need to Google all these terms?
Okay. No, you call us and say, I need better internet. I want to know my Wi-Fi options, and we will get as detailed as you want to be detailed. Okay. We have folks that call us up that know all the words, and we have folks who say, what is Wi-Fi and how do I get it? And we can manage both of those different sides of the spectrum.
So are we at the point, internet is not a utility, correct?
We would argue that it is and should be treated as such.
So that's where I'm going with this. So I'll see like specials. If your home has never had internet, to offer these great deals, discounted deals. It's almost impossible to think of somebody, if you have school age children, let's say for instance, that don't need internet in a home. Is the sense of government, is the sense that everybody should have internet access?
I think before COVID, we could have argued maybe not everybody needs it. However, because our society is moving much more technologically into the future, we would argue that everybody needs it. Your education can be advanced by having access to the internet. You can pursue a small business at home out of your garage by having Wi-Fi. You can learn what's going on over on the other side of the world by having access to Wi-Fi. Otherwise, you're just kind of stuck in your own little corner, which can be a blessing, but it is good to know what's going on around you, and Wi-Fi allows for that.
Yeah, I've wondered that the last few years. I'm familiar with the Public Service Commission, and you know, our gas and all the utilities are, they're monitored by the state, by the Public Service Commission or Public Utilities Commission. But internet's kind of out there by itself a little bit.
It is, yeah.
But and again, my thought is like, you pretty much gotta have it.
I think so too. Yeah.
Well, that's the issue for our state representatives discussing there more in the future. But I just kind of feel like, how do you get by without it? And you had a good point. Not just for gaming in our homes and watching things on our TV, but small businesses that need access. You know, and on a regular basis. You know, I have a office where I do work in my church, and we've been having issues, you know, and it's weird. It's like a certain time of day, I could count on it being slow. And it's like, that's kind of weird, but we're on our computers all the time. And, you know, we needed to do all the things we do there.
Yep. I've grown up in churches too. And even now being able to stream and we can talk to you guys today, there's a whole gamut of people that wouldn't even know we existed if it weren't for Wi-Fi.
Well, so. I say COVID came.
Yeah.
And we thought about, maybe we should get our services online. And maybe we should, you know, and then it was like, oh, yeah, we have to do this now.
Yeah, and the outreach is incredible.
So did we see I imagine we did see a tremendous uptick in users and use as COVID?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I came into the company after COVID, but my manager, Anthony Fisk, he told me that it was almost overwhelming the amount of calls and emails that they received because so many people were looking for a solution and there just wasn't the build out for it. And it was very overwhelming, not just for him running this small business, but even for the larger companies out there.
Okay. So we talk about this idea, you know, build out and taking place in Muskegon. And as I say, they have every utility has Muskegon torn up in the last year or two years. So what does that mean when we talk about the, you know, the build out taking place?
So what that means is, so for instance, Frontier is the big one that's been running the fiber through town, right? So they received funding in order to build that. So they have been laying those lines. Now, the thing about fiber is they can lay the lines, but they have to connect the circuit before we can actually get people online. So that's why we've seen different neighborhoods pop up and light up at different times. So what it means for the city is, you know, a little bit of, you know, tear down coming into the streets, laying the fibers and things. But once that infrastructure is there, every single house that is along that circuit is going to have access to their own fiber line that they don't have to share with anybody else. And all they have to do is just get connected to it.
Okay. Now, we talked just a little bit before. We talked about people contacting your company and getting assistance. But you talked about some of the other services that you provide and ways you're able to help people in this technology and information age.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple years ago, we started a summer program teaching adults tech. That is where our teenagers, and I have 13 and 17 at home, so they got to participate. But we put on classes inside our office building, and we went to a couple churches and elderly care facilities. And our teenagers actually taught the adults how to use their devices. How do I get on Facebook? How do I check my email? How do I look at my text messages on my phone even? And that was really gratifying, not only for, you know, the elderly community to learn a new skill, but watching our teens who participated come in, you know, super nervous and, you know, they didn't want to talk to anybody. Now they're standing up and they're proud and teaching and saying, I know something that is of value to the people around me. And that was a really cool experience. So that's something we've done over the summer. We haven't started it yet this year because we've had this opportunity to help folks get connected to fiber. But it is something we do want to pursue here in the coming months.
That's a pretty cool idea.
And, it's great.
It would take some stress out of my life to maybe have some of the older folks in my family. Or my mother passed, but one sibling that was designated. Like, hey, I hit something on this button and the TV's not here. And then she had to do like her medical appointments on a tablet. I was like, oh my God. You know, so we went there and we went through the tablet and everything. But she actually, you know, she was in her 85, 86, and she actually could go through the tablet, turn it on, and do her medical appointment. And I was just like, wow, that's come a long way.
You
know,
For
a lady who was born at home on a couch, you know. So, But I think that's pretty neat. I was hope you all will be get a chance to
I'm hoping to get
back to that. Okay. Folks, we are on the line. We are speaking with Megan Pohl from Pure Broadband Michigan. If you have any questions about broadband from a non-biased third party, because, you know, when you call Comcast or Frontier, they always tell you what they want you to know. So give her a call, contact their company. Maybe they can help you out with some of your broadband needs. Megan, are there some other things that we didn't talk about that we want to make sure people know about your company, understand what it is you all do?
Yeah, so we are, like I said, we're small business, local, right here in the Heights. Anthony himself has a very entrepreneurial mindset. We would really love to pursue some kind of community teaching event where we can kind of take advantage of that, because there's so many people around here who want to pursue things but don't really know how. So we'd love to do something, some kind of classes for that in the future. And then with this new fiber setup that's been going around in town, we also have a great employment opportunity for all ages. So teens who are out of school now and looking to make a few extra bucks, if you're retired and need something to do with all that free time, we would love to have you come on board. If someone is interested in, you know, more information, you can go to summer.fillout.org. It's another little inquiry form. Just we ask for a few pieces of information and then we can kind of go from there. So,
Are there any, and again, I'll put you on the spot with this.
That's okay.
We know what you're talking about, the build out that's taking place.
Yes.
Are there any major changes we're anticipating next year or two that folks ought to maybe start thinking about, or maybe no need to think about, but they'll be coming down the road in the future?
probably the biggest thing I would advise is if you don't currently have access to the fiber network, it should be coming in the next 6 to 12 months. Okay. If you have questions, we would be happy to answer that. We also have a funnel that we can go through to get a more concrete timeline. Okay. If you have been interested in upgrading your TVs, your computers, security cameras have been a hot thing lately. The Ring doorbells, we would love to answer questions about that. We help with those kinds of things as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you say, again, I think that's maybe one of the things people don't realize. You know, when you have Wi-Fi in your home, like, you know, the Ring cameras, you start talking about gaming.
Oh, yeah.
The TV, now the appliances. And maybe people are like, hey, why is all of a sudden, why am I all of a sudden having problems?
Yes.
Not thinking of all those, you know, thermostat, all the things that are now running on their Wi-Fi network. Mm-hmm. So is that one of the things you help people kind of analyze those things?
Absolutely. So if you were to call our office, that's one of the things we're going to ask. How many people are in your home who are going to be using the internet? Mm-hmm. How many devices do you have? Because each device is going to take a little bit of that speed that you would be paying for. And sometimes they can take more than you'd anticipate. One of the, I'll have to pull it up here because I don't have a very good way of explaining it. Mm-hmm. But let me see here. So we kind of liken internet speed and data to a car, how fast you can go and how much gas you have. So a lot of times folks are stuck right now with an internet plan that only gets you maybe, you know, you can only go 50 miles per hour. That would be your speed, right?
Yeah.
How much you're paying for, maybe 100 megabytes per second. I know this might be big jargon for some, but it's okay. So you can only go 50 miles per hour, and you could maybe only go 100 miles because your data, your gas tank, is capped at 100 gigabytes per month, right?
Yes.
Well, with the fiber service, you can go up to, we have speeds plans up to 7,000 megabytes per second. So we're talking like 250 miles per hour. Yeah. And when it comes to your gas tank, it's unlimited. You don't have a cap. So we are being able to take the boundaries and the limits that we currently have right now with service plans and just expand that. So you almost have no limits.
Yeah, which is something I learned the hard way because I thought I had unlimited internet use. Mm. All of a sudden, they said, no, you've reached, I get a text saying I've reached my max and my internet's going to slow down and they're going to charge me more. And I'm like, well, it can't be both.
Yeah.
Which is why I recently made changes. Yeah. Well, and somebody in my household started gaming. You know, after all these years, I'd never had an issue. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I just thought I had an unlimited amount.
Yeah. In fact, we just had a couple new customers who came on board and we've noticed a trend and they're dads. Okay. Mm-hmm. And everyone's on their phone. Everybody's gaming. Everybody's watching their Netflix. Poor dad goes down into the man cave to watch the game or something. And it's just buffering. And he just, poor guy can't win.
Like, I need more speed now. Yeah.
Like, no, we got you.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we learned it the hard way. So it's a lot of information people can still gain, you know, and so it's a good thing you all have this service here. Tell people again your name of the business, and how they can contact you.
Yeah, so again, my name is Megan. I am the operations manager, so I know a little bit about everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. Our company is Pure Broadband Michigan. You can find us online. You can Google Pure Broadband. We'll pop right up. Okay. Or our website is puremiwifi.com. That's puremiwifi.com. Our office line, 616-258-6485.
Great. Well, Megan, it's been great talking with you. You may be getting a call from someone from my household.
Hey, we may need to
check ourselves and see where we are. But God, what a tremendous service here in Muskegon Heights. And
thank you. We're trying.
Hopefully people will get this information and they can save themselves a few dollars and get some better service.
We would love that.
All right. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a little break and then we'll be back with our next guest and some more great information for our listeners and our community. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. If you are in the Muskegon community, you know my next guest. You've seen him around. We could probably spend an hour or two talking about a wide range of subjects. He's a educated, well-rounded man. I call him a friend. Would you join me in welcoming to the program William C. Muhammad?
Greetings, all.
Hello. How you doing, William?
Thankful to be alive each and every day, young man, and yourself.
I'm doing well, and it's good to, you know, we bump into each other off and on here and there. So it's good to be able to sit down for a few minutes and have a little conversation.
Yeah, we don't sit down like we used to back in the day.
No, we don't. For people that don't know you, just give people, you know, we got people from everywhere. Just give folks a little background on yourself and who you are.
Basically born and bred here in traditionally Muskegon Heights, greater Muskegon area. Longtime resident of Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. Went away to school, came back, been here ever since. And it's been a long time to get to this particular point, but we're involved in a lot of different activities. Currently, probably one of the larger things is the James Jacks Museum of African American History, located across the street from Muskegon Heights City Hall on Center Street, involved with the Arts and Culture Coalition City, actually the City of Muskegon, Muskegon County. We had a meeting for that this morning involving a lot of different arts and culture institutions in the area. And we try to network with those and make people aware of all the things that goes on in those areas. And I guess one thing I hadn't mentioned, I'm a longtime member of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we've tried to do as much as we possibly could to help bring knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to as many people as possible along those lines. But actually, we end up doing a whole lot of things. And as I've told people before, it's a shame to get this old and be this busy, young man.
Yeah. you have a friend of yours acknowledging you on the radio. Michael Anthony Smith says, I got to say like he posted, my man.
Praise be to Almighty God. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But one of the things I didn't add is the fact that I've been involved with the local 4-H group called the Busy Bees here in Muskegon for a good while, a ballpark about 15 years.
Okay.
And it has been a beautiful journey with that group, a group that was organized by two sisters in the city of Muskegon. They put that together just about 25, 26 years ago in truth. And that is really something that's near and dear to my heart.
Okay. I believe that's the focus of our conversation today. Let's talk about the work you're doing with the 4-H and what we have going on there.
Actually, I'm a follower in that. I'm an advisor, but at the same time, the focus is to help young people as much as possible. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
4-H actually comes out of the U.S. Agricultural Department through land-grant universities. All over the country, and just about each state has a land grant university. And out of those land grant universities, you have extension offices in just about every county. We'll just focus on Michigan. Just about every county has an extension office. Mm-hmm. Out of that extension office, they have program coordinators and other staff, which help coordinate various 4-H clubs. Okay. And the 4-H club itself is, many people look at it thinking about farming and agriculture and all that, but in truth, it's really, really, really much more than that. We deal with local issues. As our particular club, the Busy Bees, we're more of an urban club, a city club. So we do some things. Right now we have a hopefully going to be a successful box garden at Covenant Community Church right now in Muskegon Heights at the corner of Leahy and Barney. And but we do a whole lot with young people. As we meet, one of the things we try to do is we try to help young people to exhibit the best part of themselves. We try to help them grow into leaders. We try to help them be able to help their families in as many ways as possible. And it's been a grand journey. I have enjoyed it. I've had a large number of my grandchildren have been involved. And if I didn't think it was worthwhile, they wouldn't be involved. But I definitely know it is worthwhile.
Yeah.
And it is a great venture. We visit nursing homes. We have various projects that we do. We have hobby craft items that we get involved in. And it's about trying to help young people be able to learn how to get along better with themselves, learn how to run meetings, touch of Robert's Rules of Order comes into play, and have watched young people grow. I know a particular young man who came in at an early age, grew up till he got to be 18 or so, went away to college. And right now he is very successful in the medical field and is one of the shining lights in what we do. And he's still part of the advisory group of our 4-H program here in this area.
You know, as you say, you know, when you hear 4-H, you know, you think of, you know, nothing against, I have a friend like, you know, he's in, out in the outside of the city and his kids raise rabbits for you know, county fair. So those things come to mind. But like you talk about when we get kids, you know, not necessarily used to that rural environment and they learn things like how to grow things, you know, in the box gardens. What is that interaction like when they get introduced to something that they're just not naturally familiar with?
Well, that's funny that you asked. What it does is for city children, urban children, children who haven't had an opportunity to see a farm or know if farms exist, but that's, you know, some on TV or something. A lot of young people think that food comes from supermarkets and grocery stores. They think that food comes out of the microwave and all that. But in truth, the agricultural industry, the agricultural business is so much an important part of what we do. We're trying to be able to show some different things to them and help them be able to understand that we have trying to connect them not so much with the ground or with agriculture and those type things. We're trying to connect them with the fact that life is very real. In life, you have, I think, three of the necessities, main necessities of life are food, shelter, and clothing.
Yes.
And to a slightly lesser extent, transportation and communication. And at the same time, so much of what has happened in the society in which we live is people have, and especially young people, have kind of gone away from those type things. This is not, okay, I'll reveal some of my age. Back in high school, when I was in school, they had auto shop, they had print shop, they had woodworking, all those type things. They had home economics. They had all kinds of things which connected you to the realities of life and what's actually needed to sustain a good life and a productive life and to survive in life. Nowadays, it's so much I term them artificial things that detract and take away from really having our feet on the ground. We can have our head in the sky, but we better have our feet on the ground.
Yes.
And in that way, we're able to enjoy life, but at the same time, understand that life is a responsibility. And as young people grow, that's one thing we try to do in the Busy Bees and 4-H is help them begin to gain an understanding of responsibility. Help them begin to understand that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. When you give your word about something, respect that and try to follow through on what you said you would do. One of the big programs that we have annually in the state of Michigan, because the local 4-H extension office in Muskegon County comes through Michigan State University. Michigan State University is a land grant college and one of many, many, many land grant colleges all over the country.
And
what that means is that, matter of fact, I think they're down there right now for what we have termed exploration days.
Okay.
And this gives some of the members of some of the local clubs, and we have a number of clubs here in Muskegon County, and they're all over the state and all over the country, gives them the opportunity to go down to Michigan State for about 2.5 days and to be able to kind of experience a slice of college life. They're staying in dormitories on Michigan State campus. They attend, we call them sessions. They're really classes that they go to on campus. They're field trips. Michigan State is a land grant college. It's a lot of agricultural things, a lot of They specialize in seed experimentation, a lot of different things. Mm. Michigan State is one of the largest colleges in the country. There are a lot of universities in the country. I had no idea until going down there sometimes in the summertime. Man, they are all over the place down there. It's Lansing.
Yes, yes.
My goodness. But you know, that part of my life has been a beautiful experience, and I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. It has been a big help to my grandchildren and many other young people here in this area. And we're constantly looking to see if there are others who would like to become part of the 4-H experience.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you said only say, you know, you connect them to something real.
Yes, sir.
You know, and again, hey, we're going to grow some, you know, we're of a generation, you know, we used to, you know, our parents and grandparents growing something.
Right. Exactly.
But to know a real thing is if you don't give it water, if you don't take care of it, it dies.
Yes, sir.
And so to think we have a generation that needs that experience of, you might think it's about plants, but it's really teaching about life.
Yes, sir.
You know, exactly. My mother out there growing tomatoes wasn't just about tomatoes. You know, he was learning some other lessons about life at the same time.
That's right. 100% right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you put that like that, young man.
Yeah. Well, I'm listening to you. And you know, again, it's just great when we can offer our kids something different. You know, sir. And even that process when it kind of clicks with them of what they're doing, you know. So that's tremendous. So tell me, so we talk about the Busy Bees and some of the programs they're involved in. What kind of things we all have going on this summer?
Well, this summer, one of the main things we're doing is we're working in the garden, because a lot of times in the summertime, young people are involved in so many different types of activities, sports activities, camps, family vacations, so forth and so on. So we kind of lighten up in the summertime. The biggest thing we're doing right now is the garden. But when school gets back in session and things kind of get a little bit more uniform, that's when we will be having such things as visiting nursing homes. In the past, we visited the young people. We had young people go into nursing homes and share with the elderly. And I have a brother-in-law right now who is resides in a nursing home in Grand Haven. And it's just up close and personal that some people get visits. Some people get regular visits. Some people hardly get any visits. So one thing that we're able to do is going into these nursing homes, we're able to connect with the elderly, have conversations with them, just listen to what they got to say. Because a lot of times in life, it's not so much what others say to you, it's what you want to say to others. And sometimes if there's no one there to listen, then how can you say what you want to say? So our young people tend to really have a very, very good time. They become, and it also helps them become sensitive to the elderly too.
Yes.
Because we need to be able to have a level of understanding that we need to respect everyone, but we really need to respect our elderly, our young people, and those who are poor and misfortunate. We need to have a a great deal of sensitivity to those who are in dire straits in life, because we never know. We might be up today, but hey, we might be down tomorrow.
That's true.
So
that's
it's no true. Shame and it's no and it's no contradiction in that, but always be willing to reach your hand out and try to help somebody.
Yes. Yeah. So what are we growing down here? And your partner, you say, with the Covenant Community Church?
Yes, sir.
So what are we growing this summer?
Let's see, we've got strawberries, tomatoes. Just a moment, one of my advisors is close at hand. What else do we have in our garden, Sue? Beans, and some other things in the garden. I'm usually tasked with taking more of, I'm usually the one that takes pictures and everything. And one thing I've observed is, like I say, with my grandchildren, some other young people. Some of our young people have never actually had the chance to put their hands into dirt and then work on producing something, you know, weeding the garden, watering the garden.
Yes.
They think a water hose is basically good to water grass, and that's about as far as that goes. Wash a car.
Yeah.
but it's life is so full of so many interesting things
Yes.
that are very are so important to us as things that help sustain life, that that's one of the biggest things I've gotten out of being involved in 4-H, is it helps connect us to, actually helps connect us to life itself and the things we have to do in life, our relation to the planet, our relations to one another, and the level of respect that we should have for one another, starting out with the level of respect we should have for ourselves and what we do and don't do.
Yes. Yes. So I'm sure as people are listening, two things. If they want to get, if they want to get their children, grandchildren involved, what can they do?
They can contact the 4-H Extension office. They recently moved. They were downtown Muskegon in the John Scott building on the campus for Muskegon County, County offices. And that has moved out to what it's still part of Baker College off Quarterline.
Okay.
And they can, this day and age, they can Google it and get phone numbers that will enable them to get in contact with them. And if it's about the Busy Bees, they connect them to the Busy Bees or some of the other 4-H clubs around the county, because we do have clubs that are out less populated areas. Okay. And we have a club that specializes in rabbits. We have some that specialize in horses, and just some general clubs that do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So
I see.
Basically, it's a lot of different places. And generally, hey, if something, we have one club that basically does a lot of technology things.
Okay.
They're exploring in a lot of different areas of those subjects. And we're able to just, you're able to kind of connect. This is something that you think you might like, and try it over here. Okay. That doesn't work, and hey, try it over here.
Okay.
But it's always something that you can get involved in, and it's basically, it's a very wholesome and very well-respected organization. And all of our leadership has had to have background checks. They don't play that.
Yes. Yeah. We got kids involved, so we're making sure.
You got to have that. That's coming all the way. That's really coming all the way from the federal government down through the land grant colleges.
Yes.
And I know that you're familiar with a certain amount of that yourself. And in the day and times in which we live, there was a time when that may not have been necessary, but in these days and times in which we live now, it's very necessary.
It's necessary. Even when you think we know people, we may not know people.
And then we say we know people, and oops.
Yeah. Yes.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah. And we just want to do everything to make sure our kids are safe.
Oh, no question. Yeah, number one.
Somebody has a problem with it. And you say that, my next part was for adults who might be interested.
Yes, sir.
They can contact the same office.
Contact the Muskegon 4-H Extension office off Quarterline. Like I said, that can easily be Googled and numbers can be found. And just get in contact with them, ask them any questions that you may have, and then hopefully they can plug you into a club or just give you general information that can help one make a decision about what they want to involve their children in, or if they want to become volunteers. All of that can take place through the 4-H Extension office here in Muskegon on Quarterline.
Yes. Bertha Carter says, amen and amen. She likes what you're talking about.
Beautiful. Love Bertha.
Amen. Michael Anthony Smith says, the hours for the museum, he says he loved his visit a few years ago.
Okay. Well, we're trying to make some improvement here. We're always on the outlook for volunteers at the James Jackson Museum. Our hours are, our days are Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the hours are from 2 to 5:30. But you have the opportunity. We have a number on our Facebook page, and I'll actually give that out here momentarily, that you can call and set up a tour outside those normally scheduled hours. We had a group in the other week. I won't name the organization. I don't want to name drop. Uh-huh. I could, but I won't. And they had a great time in here. We've had individuals, we've had couples, we've had parents with children, grandchildren, all types of different things. And okay, I'll give you that number. That number is area code 231-343-8396. Again, and that's 231-343-8396. That number can be called, and you can arrange a tour at a time and a date that's convenient to all parties, and then we just get ready to move forward from there. And hopefully the opportunity to enjoy the museum would be part of what went on.
And I'll add this because every museum,
yes sir,
needs support and funding.
Yes sir.
So, if you look at some of the fund, I know a couple of groups that come there annually from outside the county.
Yes sir.
And they have a tremendous time there. And I know they
put in a lot of fire. God.
So
yes sir.
You know, you William will not be offended if you call and ask about some donations for the museum or sponsor.
No, we would not be offended. None whatsoever. I'll say it the way Dr. Jackson always said it at the close of some meetings. We're showing videos, I had guest speakers or whatever here at the museum. A lot of times Doc would have the last word, because if you know Doc, sometimes he definitely would have the last word.
Yeah.
Or if you knew Doc since he passed a few years ago.
Yes.
He would say, in talking about donations, we accept anything from a penny on up. Yes. I'd be up on the side saying, Doc, you need to at least ask for a dollar. And he looked at me and he smiled and nodded his head. And he said again, we'll accept anything from a penny on up. It got to the point that we actually put that on a sign. And we got that on right in front of our donation box here in the museum. So, hey, we will accept anything from a penny on up.
That's awesome. Benita Threadgill says, beautiful museum and living legacy to our Dr. James Jackson.
Praise be to Almighty God. We're trying to enhance that a little bit. We found a few more items that we can use to enhance the spirit of Dr. Jackson, who passed on June the 26th, 2018.
Okay.
But Doc is one who, he put his money where his heart and his love was, and he loved this museum.
Yes. Yeah. And so when it's, I remember even years before it became reality.
Yes, sir.
He was talking about his passion for
knowing
our history in this community.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to see that legacy continue.
And with the help of God, we're going to try to do the best we can to keep it in motion.
Yes. Yes. We miss sorry, and again, it's good to chat with you, man. We see each other coming and going. What else you got going on this summer?
Oh, let's see.
Grandkids keeping
good you busy. Good question.
I said that because I know you're involved in a lot of things. I see you involved in a lot of activities around the community, and you're a blessing to the community to be involved, give input and feedback. So I know I'll see you out there at Covenant taking pictures, and they don't let you get your hands in the dirt too much. So,
I get my hands in the dirt as long as they got some water to clean them up. We all good.
Okay.
I appreciate that that thought. Praise be to Almighty God. Whatever I do, truth be told, whatever I do, if it's something good, it's He gets all the praise. If it's something negative or something crazy I done did, some folks will understand this a little bit, but charge that to Billy Walker.
Okay.
many people will know what that means. But God gets all the praise from me, brother. Whatever's going on of a positive nature, He gets all the praise from me.
Yeah.
Because he's my inspiration indeed.
You know, and I don't want to take it negative when people slam the community, but you know, you talk about working with 4-H and work with grandkids. What are some of the ways that we can get people in our community? You know, everybody wants their kids involved.
Yes, sir.
What are some of the ways that you found successful in getting people to get in? You know, we need chaperones, we need advisors, we need support, photographs, security, whatever. But
what are
some of the ways you found that you can get people involved in participating with their kids in these activities?
That's a very, very key point you're making, my dear brother. And number one, it's harder now than it has been in the past. I think the pandemic, coronavirus, as some call it, or COVID, as some call it, really kind of put people, kind of gave people caution and everything. And it was more of a looking out for self type of an environment, and we're coming out of that, but yet and still the human family has been created as social beings, And in that regard, it's about interacting with one another. It's about trying to help one another. It's about trying to be the best example that we can for our children and mm-hmm. our young adults.
Yes.
Because it's easy for us to say, well, you should do this and you should do that and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But if we're doing some of that stuff ourselves or a lot of that stuff ourselves, they ain't paying mm-hmm. no attention to us.
Right. Back exactly.
Back to your point in terms of the attempt to get people to come out and volunteer and share. Times have gotten to a point now where everybody's just so busy. I'll be honest with you. That's one of the things that has been kind of a difficulty factor. Life itself has become more difficult. Sometimes you got to have a couple jobs to make what one job used to do.
Yes.
Women are out here in increasing numbers in terms of the labor market and all those type things. So time is, it's still the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that it always has been. Mm-hmm. That ain't changed. Ain't gonna change no time soon. At the same time, it seems as though we don't have enough time to do the things that we may want to do, and we got to do the things that we believe are necessary to do. So
yes,
having said that much, I would say this, that in life, we have to have balance.
Yes.
Can't just be workaholics and don't have some time for recreation and relaxation and fun and just to sit down and take a deep breath. We have to have balance. And we also have to have balance in our family lives, where we have to understand if Almighty God blessed us to become parents, we have to donate X amount of time, certain amount of time to the rearing of our children. And we don't raise our children in terms of their actual growth. We do mm-hmm. from a standpoint of giving them the proper foods, but we raise them in terms of what we example in front of them and what we teach them. So in the teaching of our young people, we are able to help them be able to make better choices in life, to be able to make better decisions. And the older they get, the more weight these decisions and choices take on, the more responsibility they take on. So there's no real total guideline to how to be a parent. I would say the Holy Scriptures gives us the best guidelines. I can look at some of the things in Proverbs. I can look at some of the things throughout the Bible, the Holy Quran, and things of that nature. But as much as anything, it's about being a good example in front of your children.
Yes, yes.
It's about being able to say that if I think it's good for me, I believe it'll be good for you. Mm-hmm. And if you see something that you see is good for them, lead them to it, participate in that activity yourself in terms of being a volunteer or a leader, or just someone who is one who does a whole lot of encouraging. And back to the point, we've been trying for years to get more volunteers.
I understand it. And it's a struggle with everybody, you know, so I want to be negative about it, but no, the people that volunteer with you, I probably have a dozen other things they volunteer with.
Exactly.
And trying to expand the net for other people. Well, you kind of said, you know, if you want your kids to be part of it, show up with them.
Exactly. 100% right on that. So I guess we'll throw that out there as a challenge to people who can hear our voices today.
Yes.
Hey, if you think it's something good for your children, get involved yourself.
Exactly.
You need to see what's going on in that particular organization or that particular activity to see if it's okay with you. If you believe in something positive that you're willing to, because our children are precious.
Yes.
Children are precious, precious, precious. They're gifts from Almighty God, just as each and every person on the planet Earth is a gift from Almighty God. He gave us this life as a present. And sometimes we don't do the right thing with the present that he gave us.
Sometimes we don't.
as one of my daughters says, life be life. And it don't be no joke. So let's see if we can do a better job of lifing out here.
That sounds good to me.
Move forward with this and just be better to one another than we have been in the past.
That sounds really good. Well, brother, we got about 30 minutes left with you, brother. Final comments you want to give folks about 4-H, Busy Bees, and getting involved and activities taking place this summer and throughout the year?
I go back to the fact that Busy Bees to me has really been, it's been a godsend for my grandchildren, and actually through them to myself. And I'm one who blows the bugle, blows the trumpet for 4-H, as far as it being a connector for people in terms of having young people begin to do some things, some positive things under supervision, being able to learn some activities, learn how to respect one another, be organized, and it can help. It can help along with what we would like to believe. It can work very well in connection with other activities in life. It can work very well in connection with the church. It can work very well in connection with schools, because all of the different organizations that are involved with young people should be attempting to be the best and take on the responsibility of helping young people become the best, not only young people, but as they grow into adulthood, that they can become that much more responsible adults, responsible to self, and responsible to kind. So we really try in the Busy Bees to, yes. And I commend our volunteers, our leadership in the Busy Bees for always coming up and always being willing to go that extra step. I won't say that extra mile, because a mile starts with the first step, as they usually say. Always coming up with activities and always looking out for what's in the best interest of our children, and trying to see further down the road to where they can become what Almighty God would have them to be.
Yes. Yes. Brother Muhammad, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, this has been Community Focus. Today is the first day of summer. Get outside, get out of the house, get some fresh air, visit some people, maybe get your hands in the dirt, grow something, cause something to happen. But life is meant for us to interact with each other.
Yes,
wasn't meant for us to be alone. So get out, share your life, and share somebody else's life with you. Want to say God bless you. We'll see you next Friday, 2 p.m., Community Focus. Be blessed.